Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here. Subscribe to the only show that will show you how to apply the world's greatest ideas from the most striking minds. After presenting more than 1,000 interviews, I couldn't be more compelled to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. We've got spies and CEOs, athletes and authors from Kobe Bryant to Malcolm Gladwell, Tony Hawk and Howie Mandel to the chairman of Google, founders of LinkedIn and Instagram, antiquities smugglers, con men, brilliant scientists, national heroes, and even the head of the CIA. Listed as Apple's best of 2018 and countless other awards that, let's be honest, you probably don't care about right now. So come and have a listen for yourself and join me as we exploit the superpowers of the world's most incredible thinkers, amazing achievers, and iconic change makers with their insights delivered right into your mind. You'll get that blueprint of their brilliance each week so that you can learn to live what you listen. Subscribe right now to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you're listening now.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
Welcome to Collider Live. It is Friday. We are on our first week of Collider Live Phase 2. It's very exciting for us. I am Dorina, Dorina para mis hermanos hispanos. You can also call me Thick Thor of Collider Live.
Yes.
My inner Thick Thor. Wow. And to join me in talking about nerd news, furry news, producer extraordinaire, our Captain America with longer nails, Mark Riley.
Oh my God. Hello. Thank you.
Of course.
Also, maybe.
Did you cut them?
Yes,
of course. I've cut them.
There's nothing wrong with gentlemen's nails. I have the same thing.
Yeah, there you
okay,
are.
Okay, well, he cut them.
Oh, he cut them.
Yeah, because he sometimes doesn't. So.
Do you manicure? Saying. Do you manicure?
No, I cut them myself and I do it, and because I never want to be made fun of on the show again because of my nails.
Fair enough.
That's well, that was the last
I'm
one.
I'm kidding.
No, it was not the last one.
Have fun, everyone.
Also, making his debut on Collider Live 2.0, my favorite Bolivian Thanos, John Roca.
Inevitable.
Perfect. I love that, man.
Should have done Inevitable.
Inevitable.
Welcome to the show,
thank
man.
You. Thank
so
you
so glad
on.
To have you. Roca, you will be here a lot more
no.
yes.
now that the revamped is happening.
2.0.
Absolutely.
Yes, the audience loves you. We love you.
I love them. Thank you all so much for having me.
Also,
I love you guys, too.
In the booth, his spidey senses are tingling.
Mm-hmm. I like this.
Our very own Spider-Man, Mr. Cody Hall.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Cody.
Doing great.
You sound very excited, Cody.
I am very hyper right now.
Yeah. What did you do?
I chugged an entire Rockstar lemonade before the start of this show today, and I'm ready to do a fucking great time.
Yes! Extreme Collider Live!
Did you get over the Hoobastank thing, or are you still contemplating
it? No, that kind of sent me down that spiral.
Oh, fair enough.
I lived in 2004.
Also, last but not least, I am Groot. We are Groot. The beautiful Alex Marzonia.
What up?
How are you, Alex?
I'm great. Everyone's in a good mood today, and I love it.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear.
Dorina, all the Marvel references.
Well, it's Collider Live Phase 2. Get it? So the Avengers.
Oh.
Get it? I was making an Avengers.
I just got it. I just got it. Okay.
God damn it. You're supposed to be Captain America, Mark.
Well, yeah. I'll take Captain America.
Yeah. Well, who would you be then?
I don't know.
That's America's ass over there.
Yeah.
And I have zero ass, so that really doesn't work.
It's true. You have a small butt.
Oh, jeez. Well, the level just went up in my ear.
But also, I mean, you're basically Superman, right? So,
yeah,
Captain America is
okay,
kind of the Superman
okay.
of Marvel.
Well,
you know,
Marvel now, so. Back in the MCU, are the X-Men, so Wolverine because of the nails?
Exactly.
And I do have rage
That's
sometimes.
True. Maybe you should be Wolverine instead.
I have rage when I'm in the car well, driving and people cut me off and I want to destroy them.
Also, I mean, we can also go around the office and see who has the nicest ass and they can be our Captain America.
That's true.
So there you
go.
Well,
he's not here. Kalinowski, he has the nicest ass.
Does he?
Everybody.
Yeah.
family knows that. Is it true? It's a good ass.
I have not checked it out.
I'm missing out. It's a good ass.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. Next time he's in the office.
This went interesting. Let me just check this off the outline. Talk about people's asses.
Yes.
Thank you.
There it is.
Casual Friday.
There it is. Oh, my gosh. So what are we talking about today, Mark? What is the nerd news?
The nerd news is absolutely off the hook right now. I'm shocked that we have so much news. So let's start with – do you want to start with this Joker news?
Yes, because it makes me happy.
I knew it would make you happy. It makes me very happy as well because, Rocha, you know this.
Yes.
Serena, you know this. Before Joker came out, there were a lot of people – judging it, I would say, before they even saw the damn thing.
Because people love to do that.
They were worried that it was going to do this or that. I don't want to get into that kind of stuff. I'm like the worries because it never came true, thankfully. God, thankfully. But it's one of those brilliant movies. It's one of my favorites of the year, probably top five of the year. It's probably in the top two. Right now I have the platform at number one and Joker at number two. Mm-hmm. I love these movies. So
you have to see Parasite.
I need to see Parasite. Yes. You need to see The Platform.
I do.
And I cannot find when it's going to drop on Netflix. I know. I'm getting angry.
I like All right, Wolverine.
It's Extreme Collider Live. It's what we need.
So Joker has now made $955 million worldwide.
Holy crap.
On a 62.5 million production budget. Mm-hmm. So guess what, everybody? This is the most successful comic book movie of all time.
Ever made
based on the budget to the profit.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
This is incredible and a huge win for DC. It's really nice to see Warner Brothers. It's nice to see that this is happening, that we can have this and that we all love the movie sitting here.
And that a risk-taking movie did this, right? Because everybody thought it was going to be like, why are we even doing this?
Right.
Yeah. Nobody wanted that.
Yeah, and it's interesting that, you know, we were coming off of the Zack Snyder movies and everybody's like, well, you know, meanwhile I'm over here going, I like them.
Yeah,
I guess, you know, what happened?
Same.
So, but then Justice League, right, I think that was the dark moment in the DC franchise because Justice League, well, let's call a spade here. Yeah. That movie sucks.
Well.
I'm with Rocha. Yeah. Some of it's
How
really
are you
cool.
people –
Yeah. So, some of it's cool.
I agree.
The Flash stuff was fun.
The Flash stuff is cool. There's a lot to enjoy.
I know, but that was not.
It means hope in my world.
Right.
I know. The CG was really bad.
And that's the first fucking shot of the movie.
But you defend BVS, and that has a Martha moment, which I would argue eclipses that mustache moment.
The Martha moment works for me. Hot take. Martha moment works for me.
Did you see the Ultimate Edition?
Yes. It was even more boring.
How dare you? I actually liked it a lot more.
You're like Jimmy Olsen being a spy?
I didn't care about that.
I'm sorry. BVS has grown on me like you wouldn't
believe. It has. It's like ivy on your wall.
I love this movie so much. I love the original cut and the ultimate cut. I really do. I will put that thing on.
Everyone in the comments is like, holy crap,
Yeah, I know. Yeah, great. Tweet at me.
No, but some of them do like it.
I just really, really love that movie. And it was like I wanted when Zack Snyder was unceremoniously let go – I was like, great, you know. I wanted to see his Justice League.
Yeah, so, I still want to see it. We might. We hope. Those Snyder Cut peeps on Twitter really want it.
It's a thing that won't die, Dorina. Yeah. People keep. And you know what? Momoa doesn't let it die.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Snyder doesn't let it die.
Nope.
Because they know it's good.
Yeah.
The second unit aerial director.
I think Ray Fisher had something to say about it as well. And then other people have chimed in all the time.
Who I loved in Justice League.
Yeah. Junkie XL.
Cyborg was great in Justice League. How did you not like that?
Yeah, Junkie XL.
Listen, there are moments, moments that I like. I do like the Flash taking on Superman where he looks and everything, and that was good. I was really hoping, it's a Superman thing, I'm biased. Yeah. I was really hoping they would go a little bit deeper into the death of Superman.
Well, because we needed a Man of Steel sequel.
Yes, we did.
So pardon me, I'm going to be cursing today. What the fuck, Warner Brothers? No. Where is Man of Steel 2?
Wow.
Mark,
it's Casual Friday, and I have a little bit of
it. Cody, did you give Mark some of your Rockstar drink?
The whole office is ready for
It's been a busy week, and it's been hyping, and so people are in, like, it's Friday. I rolled over to my girlfriend this morning. I got 8 hours of madness, and I come back to your arms, baby. I can't wait.
There,
because I know this is going to be fun. Man. Every day you walk in here this week has been fun because you know what's happening day to day, and it's a blast to see so many changes happening. So we'll see. We shall see. But Joker, this is great because I think what you brought up, Dorina, earlier is fantastic. There are a lot of people talking ahead of them. Do we need this movie? It's an incel movie, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be violence, blah, blah, blah. We got policemen posted outside screenings. Literally almost nothing happened. There were two occasional things, but you can't really tie it fully to Joker. But
dancing almost, on the stairs?
Yeah, people went dancing
on the
stairs.
I mean, that's really what happened.
Yeah. All this kind of stuff, it means nothing. What it is this is a quality film that people came back to over and over and over again. Millions of people came back to over and over again to give it the box office that it has now. And people who snarked about it and enjoyed snarking about it have to kind of eat a little bit of crow here because the film made what it made. And if it's the highest grossing comic book movie ever. Mm-hmm. This isn't like Transformers or this isn't like these other films.
Well, no, it's good.
No, that's what I'm getting at. It's that it's universally reviled by the fans. This is actually universally beloved by the fans who go to see it, which
and not
is
just,
why. And not just fans, yeah.
Not critics, just comic book fans, but also just the general audience.
Yes.
I've heard from a lot of friends that aren't comic book fans, right? They see Mystique from the X-Men as like the blue lady, right? Like they're not nerds like us. They have lives, and so they love this
Fair
movie.
Enough.
They love the message of this movie. It's incredible, and I'm excited to see more of this.
Yeah.
More
rated
R movies, more rated R comic book movies, more standalone either hero or villain movies that don't need to be connected to the universe because we get a better character story, better character arc. So I'm very happy about this.
Oh, my God. Do it.
So what else do we got today, Mark?
Well, let's get into – let's talk about this Star Wars stuff.
Okay.
Okay? Because this is a part of our headline. There was a earnings call yesterday with Bob Iger, and he was – you know, what he does is he tells everybody what's going on. And there was like a little tiny aside, as it were, that he said, after Rise of Skywalker, we are going to go on hiatus for the movies. But don't worry, we're going to have a lot of, you know, TV to look forward to. I know you're
I just think it's funny. I'm sorry.
Now, how dare you, first of all. I love my movies, but I understand what's coming. So if you read between the lines here, and I'll put this to the table here, that means that the Benioff and Weiss situation has probably caused the ripple to that 2022 release that they had targeted for the Benioff and Weiss, no longer there. So we're on this kind of floating in space like Leia before she realized she had the Force, right? So we're like, what are we going to do? Leia Poppins. How are we going to wake up and get ourselves back on the mothership to put – the movies into the theater. Do you like that?
I like that.
Freaking Last Jedi reference all up in here. It makes a lot of sense that it's on hiatus. So I wonder how long that hiatus is going to be. Do you think we will get a movie in the 2022 release window, or are we looking at a Star Wars movie not coming to theaters for at least 5 years?
I mean, they're clearly probably focusing on the fact that Mandalorian's about to come out, right? And I think that show's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be probably one of the best new Star Wars things we've seen since the prequels. And also they're going to be making money off the theme parks. They're going to be making money off of merch, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be
Disney
a bunch
Plus
of stuff that they maybe don't need movies right now. Maybe they want to focus on the other Star Wars series that they have in mind.
Right. They could be Obi-Wan. There's a report out there. The Obi-Wan series is going to begin filming in July of 2020 next year.
Right.
So we're going to look forward to that. Sounds like conceivably is the next series after The Mandalorian, which give me that, all of that. Put it in my face right now. I love that. Then we have Cassian Andor. Yeah, there it is. Then we have Cassian Andor. So those are the three that we can look forward to Disney Plus. Movies? Ryan Johnson, there's a rumor now that his trilogy of movies isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Which I think that's probably – true.
Yep. I've been predicting that for a year.
Yeah.
That I think the Ryan Johnson thing was never going to happen. And
good.
And thank you, Cody.
Thank you.
My
and all
favorite
the changes.
Soundbite.
Stand in my light. All the changes, though. I think this is a smart decision at this point because if you're wrapping up nine movies, right, yeah. this whole Skywalker storyline, but you want people to take a breath.
Of course.
I think Mandalorian allows them to take a breath. Kenobi can allow them to take a breath. There's mm-hmm. animated series that are coming out yep. as well. There's more going on with Star Wars. It's going to stay in people's minds. And also, remember what people have been saying, though? I like the idea of waiting for – where was the time where I could wait a year or two yeah. or 5 years for the next Star Wars movies? I want that. So that's going to come
back into
play.
It's just like a rainfall of like – or a waterfall
right.
of like in your face. Another Star Wars movie. I don't care that you're not done with this one. You're just
right.
shoving it in our faces.
Right.
It's kind of dumb of us nerds to complain because, you know, as kids, this is probably our dream to have all of these Star Wars and superhero movies
right,
come up.
Right.
But it does get a little tiring.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And I think also, and this is kind of what made me, as I was reading the article last night, I was thinking to myself, well, look, Kathleen Kennedy's contract runs out in 2021 right now. The extension runs out in 2021. Feige, they've already said he's going to produce a film,
yeah.
a Star Wars film. Mm-hmm. They handed him this big Marvel job recently, the CCO. So I think this is all kind of in motion here behind the scenes
yeah.
for either Kennedy to have a graceful exit mm-hmm. and for Feige to slide into that situation because having this time now
– slide into her DMs. Yeah,
sure. It's, having this
imagine?
Time now, you know, to not have to worry about these Star Wars movies – he has time to understand how this Star Wars thing works on this side of the fence. Of course, he's got some knowledge having been a Marvel under the umbrella of Disney. But now this is time to really sit down and kind of look at how this whole thing is constructed and maybe come up with a game plan where Feige kind of slides into the position that Kathleen Kennedy was in and she moves on to something else. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I'm saying it's possible.
I don't think he has time. He just became this like mm-hmm. the grand wizard, grand poobah of like all of Marvel. Mm-hmm. So – I think that he is probably going to be doing that, but I think he'll do his movie.
Yeah, you don't think he'll slide in
to take over Kathleen
yeah.
Kennedy? Not with his jobs at Marvel.
Okay,
at least not for a while.
Not for a while, at least maybe. Yeah. I'm looking at Dave Filoni.
You think Filoni would slide in?
That makes more okay. sense if maybe unless maybe he becomes like the TV person, right? And Kathleen
that
comes up, and Kathleen becomes a movie person still like later mm-hmm. when we come back from this hiatus.
Okay,
so but it makes sense to me. I mean, we've had. So many Star Wars movies in
yeah.
how many years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
a lot.
Four?
Yeah.
4 years?
So we're going to have three of the new sequel trilogy, Rogue One, Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope his – I wonder what his movie is. That's the one
– Feige's?
Feige's, yeah.
What would you want to see?
Luke Skywalker. I want a Luke Skywalker
like a
prequel to Force Awakens. I want to see everything go down. I want to see Ben Solo fall to the dark side.
Mm.
And I want to see that effect on Luke. And then when the movie ends, we know how it all went down before Force Awakens.
Sebastian Stan Luke doing
no,
that?
No, no, no. I think you could bring in Mark Hamill. And you – because look at what he did.
And then you DH?
Look at his – what he looked like at the end of The Last Jedi.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, when he's on Krait.
Right.
He projected that image of when Ben Solo mm-hmm. fell to the dark side, uh-huh. that Luke, right?
That's
right.
what you want to see.
I want to see that movie.
I just don't know if Mark would do it again.
I don't know if he would either. He said he doesn't want to maybe do it anymore. He said, I'm done after the Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. But then again, there's also money mm-hmm. that could maybe change his mind.
There's money.
And a good
script. I mean,
script,
I would do it.
And a good
pay
script.
Pay me and I'll be Luke.
If Kevin Feige was shepherding that kind of idea,
yeah.
I think it would be really fantastic to see. And I think it would also do a lot for the fandom that maybe didn't like the Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi to
right.
see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I think it would also really show why he went where he went in yeah. The Last Jedi and get more character into it.
Yeah, because a lot of people were upset that they didn't like what happened to Luke, right?
Yeah.
But
right.
I think
including Hamill.
Yeah.
Well, he mentioned it, right? But then he had to like appease the fans.
Right.
He mentioned
it. He was like, whoa.
Like, you guys, calm down. It's just an opinion.
Right.
But this is not a big fucking deal in the words of Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, it would be interesting to see the character evolving from, you know, being a hero mm-hmm. at the end of Return of the Jedi and then going through all this crap with his nephew. And like, that is an interesting storyline to see, like how he ended up being, you know, bitter and wanting to be left alone. Because that I didn't hate what happened to Luke. I actually thought
right.
it was cool. I just wish I had seen more of it, more of the development of it.
I think that's fair.
Because it makes sense what happened to his character.
Mm-hmm. Hence my movie.
Yeah.
Hence the movie I would like to see
yeah.
because I think it would be interesting. And personally, I thought When you're talking about Luke Skywalker, my favorite kind of character in all of film, mm-hmm, I mean, he's the one that spoke to me when I was little, and Schnepp is talking to us right now. That just went down.
Yeah, yeah. He Schnepp, disagrees.
Yeah, I don't know if he disagrees or if he agrees with me, because Schnepp, I know, did the Last Jedi grew on him. I think it's interesting when you have a hero and they save the universe at the end of one trilogy, and then you meet up with them years later and they're falling on hard times. That to me spoke to me so much. It's because it made me feel like, okay,
you get it.
Mm. Well,
it's like you're being Thor to me. I get it.
Right.
Thick
when you're Thor heroic
everything.
And then you just continue to be heroic for the rest of your life. It made me feel like it's like you can, even though you do good in the world, have a bad day or have a or fall
perfect
on hard times. Nobody's perfect. Right. I just identified with it. So I think to go deeper into that idea through a movie, that's what
I agree, because you can be a hero, but you're not perfect. Not even Superman's perfect, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so, because imagine everybody, it's interesting for me to have grown up being a huge fan of Batman and kind of hating Superman, being like, oh, this Boy Scout thing, he's all that, you know? And then as I've gotten older, I from all the different iterations of these characters, it would be really crazy to have that much responsibility and that much power, right?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And always thinking that you have to do the right thing, especially when everybody's depending on you. Like that gets exhausting, right? So that's why some heroes become villains, in the words of the great Christopher Nolan, Dark Knight.
Yeah,
right.
So that's just my pick. I don't know if you guys have any speculation on what a Feige movie could be.
I wouldn't want him to do anything to do with whatever happened before. I'd want him to start something completely new.
Yeah, and
who's the
I get
guy
that
in the video game, Starkiller? Who's the guy in the video
game? Sam Witwer?
No, the guy in the video game. No, the character.
From Battlefront?
No, in the
Force Unleashed?
Yeah, the Force Unleashed.
Okay.
That guy. I would like to see that guy, that character. I'm sorry I can't come up with it right now, but that
Starkiller.
Character.
Alex is
Starkiller,
looking
right?
Yeah, Starkiller.
Yeah, Starkiller.
That's right.
I'd like
you
to see Starkiller. That would be a fun thing to see on live action on screen. Or if we've been clamoring for that Knights of the Old Republic, and now with Benioff and Weiss not doing it, that Knights of the Old Republic slot opens
that's
up.
True.
Would he do something?
And Sam Witwer would
back?
Totally do it too.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Yeah, because he's awesome.
He's amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
We need to get him on our show.
It'll be we do, yeah. And it'll be interesting to see what they're doing. I mean, it's like I Hate Us right now, I think is smart.
Yeah.
Let's see how the Disney Plus streaming series do. And I think they do need to really look at their movies, because I think even though I love most of the movies in the new era of Disney, aside from Solo, I think that they could use some planning, and I think they could use some time to really take an idea of what they're doing next.
Yes.
So maybe this is a good thing.
Yes, I think it's a good thing. I think taking a break will make the fandom miss Star Wars more. And maybe, hopefully, we'll finally stop fighting. Probably not. But let's hope.
What about The Mandalorian? Maybe that will pull everybody together.
I think that'll bring us all together.
I think that is good.
Yeah.
That is the hope. But moving on to more important news, Mark.
Yes. There's some very important news.
Very, very important news that part of our audience, probably, I'm not sure what the percentage is of furries, but Ian McKellen has something to say about the horror movie that we're all going to see in December, the Cats musical adaptation.
Yes.
That was good.
Is it every time
thank
we say
Cody.
Cats? Okay. So the Cats movie.
That's how we're going to take our calls today, Cody.
Yeah, the Cats movie, thank you, is coming out the same weekend, speaking of Star Wars, as The Rise of Skywalker.
Oof.
Okay?
I want to see both. I'm going to see Cats.
I'm going to see Cats too.
I'm very excited to see this ridiculous looking movie. I cannot wait.
I think everybody needs to smoke a gigantic bowl.
And if walk you're of age,
if you're of age,
yes.
I probably won't get to do the junket, but if I did the junket, I would wear a cat outfit the whole time interviewing people.
You should do the junket.
That would be fun.
Would you really? Would you dress like full makeup Cats musical?
Yes.
Okay, we need to do this.
I would love to do it.
Okay.
The greatest thing.
I would love to do it.
Okay. As Mr. Mistopheles, or who would you dress as?
Yeah, what's a Spanish cat? El gato.
El gato volador. El gato. Remember that song?
I love that Cody. Even in Spanish, he does it.
Oh my God.
El gato.
Are you a fan?
Perfect.
Are you a fan of musicals, John?
Of course, I love musicals.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a new book that came out.
Well, great. Greatest Showman. I don't know.
I know. And that's what I think is a smart. We could battle all day if you want. But that's why it's smart to drop this here, I think, because I think what happened a couple of years, when Jumanji a couple of years ago, and
Last
then Greatest
Jedi.
Showman, mm-hmm. both those, like, drop it in December, went on to make all this money. Mm-hmm. So there's this audience for these movies at this time mm-hmm. that will make some money for them. So I think it's smart with Les Mis. I think it's smart with Cats to drop at this time. I think it's interesting to see how people are going to react to it. And already from the trailer was a social media sensation. Mm-hmm. Whether they wanted that to happen or not, I think it gets people now going like, I got to see what this is all about. So
right.
I think it's smart as hell. It's good counter-programming to Star Wars. And, you know, who doesn't want to see Cats?
Alex, did you just look up gigantic bull on Google search? For Roka when he's at the junket?
No, they said we're going to smoke a gigantic bowl.
Oh.
So we just looked into that? It.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Some nice bowls. Mark did.
Yeah, I said
true.
Gigantic bowl. Also, I am very much enjoying the Twitter mentions right now that are taking the image of Ian McKellen as a cat uh-huh. and just – going close up on that.
Because it's so good. So what did Ian McKellen have to say, Mark?
This is the thing. When that thing dropped, everybody went, what the hell am I looking at right mm-hmm. now? It really was this weird thing. So he did talk about what is behind the CGI and why they did this and how it's going to affect the movie and all this. But
right.
he said the stage show Cats was not about a lot of people being convincing as cats, but it was about human beings discovering their cat-like nature. And it was hugely successful. So he's speaking with an Entertainment Tonight like this, and they ask him, like, yeah, people really didn't like the CGI on the cats because uh-huh. of that thing. And so this is what he said. And then he continued saying, when it was now being done in film, the temptation, I think, must have been to turn those actors into cats, like Lion King, and make them look like real cats.
Just heard I was trying to find the Lion King one for that.
Oh. Okay. But they're not real cats. Oh, man, we're way off.
It's a rock star that Cody drank.
This is where we get interesting. There are people playing cats, and that is the notion of the film. And it's been done very wittingly, I think, and particularly the dancers. To see a young person discovering the cat in them, your jaw just drops with delight. Dame Judy and I and James Corden and all the rest, Taylor Swift, we're all busy doing our version of Cats.
So we're supposed to go watch this movie and find our inner cat. I'm not mad about that.
Yes.
I'll go dressed as a
cat,
too.
That's the whole point.
But, and to be fair, CG is not ever completed usually when they show a trailer. It might look better. It's just that the design looks really freaky and weird. Like it looks like it should have been renamed to furries instead
yes,
of cats.
Yes, I mean, she's dancing on a gigantic table with like salt and pepper shakers that are bigger than her head. And I'm like,
I appreciate you wanting to defend this. I appreciate you wanting to defend this.
Yeah, listen, I know you're a cat inside and out.
I do love cats.
If you're going to release a trailer like this, you want to make sure the CG is finished because musicals already have an uphill battle at the box office.
Right.
The last thing you want, and this is a legendary musical, so the last thing you want to do is come out with a CG that's going to be made fun of. I appreciate that Ian McKellen, who I saw when I was in London doing his one-man show recently, wants to say this stuff. But I will say to you, this sounds to me like, come see our two-hour acting class when we stand around, having been an actor and having been in those classes, where we imitate being a cat for 2 hours.
Do a cat right now. Do it.
I don't know if I can.
No.
Do a cat on catnip. Go.
Jeez. You will never see me do that. I'm a dark person, and thank you. See you later, everybody. That's Collider Live.
I was going to lift my leg up, but that can't happen anymore at this age. Yeah.
Well, that's about all the time we had to talk about news, but we do want to do a few plugs before we go on break. We're also going to have, when we return, we're going to have the lovely Ashley Robinson join us. She has some cool stuff to talk to us about, charity to help veterans, which is great for Veterans Day and weekend.
Coming up. And the troops out there now with Operation Gratitude.
Yeah.
I love it. I donated last year, I think, which was great.
So we'll have her on. So first of all, you guys know For Your Consideration, our series with the lovely Perry Nemiroff, Scott, holy shit, Mance, and Jeff Snyder. thank you, Cody. We are actually going to partner with ArcLight Cinemas to have a FYC screening series that's coming up. So check that out, November through February for Oscar season. That's exciting. They will all be there, including, I'm sure, some of us at some point.
Sure.
Additionally, we have two horror comedy sketches to plug. One is from our lovely Roxy Stryer.
Yes.
And it is, can you talk about it, Mark?
It's a very interesting short where they are watching The Bachelorette eating kale. And then things go awry. I'll just say that.
Okay.
I'll just say that. It's really funny. I mean, you guys, you and Roxy, I just, you know, obviously adore. And you guys just rocking it outside of Collider Live doing your things.
We have fun.
You have fun. So this is a hysterical short. And I, as I told Roxy, when she is back next week, we're going to talk a little bit more on it so she can tell us a little bit about the process of filming, how it got made, and all her stories on
that. And you can check it out, I believe, on her YouTube channel, Roxy.
On her YouTube
channel. I think
it's
just Roxy Stryer.
And we dropped a link in the description here.
Correct.
Boom.
Also, about a few months ago, I directed a horror comedy sketch as well called Axe Murderer. It's on my channel, Super Dork House. Brett Sheridan was the main star, basically.
He's
hilarious as always, so you can check that out. We will be talking about these stupid things that we do on the side a lot more because we like to have fun here on this silly show.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have anything, any fun stuff that you got going on outside, Roka?
Yeah.
Why don't you
film them doing a cat thing?
Yeah. Why don't you do like a cat's horror comedy sketch? Should we do one?
Sure.
Do you
I'll
dance?
Dress up can as we? A cat. Can of course, we? I dance.
Okay,
it's I'm happening. Latino.
Wait, I'm going to come up with a cat's horror movie. There's another one. Yeah. I'm going to figure it out.
Oh, I would like that.
Because that would be really fun. I have to use my hallway at my apartment complex before I leave because it's the most creepiest. And then they redid it and put the most god-awful carpet down that, like, reminds me of the Shining carpet. So it's just like, great, let's just do this.
Great. Well, that sounds awesome. We're going to write a Cats musical starring the Collider crew.
Sounds perfect.
What's happening. So we will be back. We are going to break. We will take your calls. Ashley Robinson, will be joining us. Go to the bathroom.
I'm gonna go take a shit, Alex.
Hey guys, it's Perry here to let you know that Movie Talk is moving. We've had a great time in this 3 p.m. Pacific slot, but guess what? We want you to start your day with Collider Movie Talk, so we're moving. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get a longer show with some brand new segments, so tune in starting Monday, September 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific. See you there.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Sports Time. Well, you know, if you've been watching us every week, you know we break down the latest and the greatest in the world of sports, talk about the big issues, the big games, all of it with a rotating band of guests like Matt Nose and Josh McCouga.
Hey everyone,
we've
this is John Rocha.
We've had Taylor Rashadi on. We've had so many great guests. Now, if you want to see more of Sports Time or you want to try it out for the first time, remember to subscribe to Collider Sports YouTube channel for all the sports goodness.
Hey guys, it's Riley here. Let me tell you about the Riley Roundtable. You know it, right? It drops every Thursday on Collider Conversations, and I have guests from all across the space. John Rocha, Gray Drake, Alexander Desplat came on at one point. We talk everything from movies, we talk about life, and everything in between. What do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? It's the Riley Roundtable every Thursday on Collider Conversations. You get it there.
Hi, I'm Coy Jandro, host of Collider Heroes, and I'm here to tell you we've got 20-minute episodes coming at you on Collider Video, on the YouTube, as you've always loved it. Plus, now we've got hour-long podcasts dropping every Thursday, so make sure to subscribe to the podcast because it's going to get even more sweaty on the podcast. Plus, every week we're going to try to get some very special guest interviews, all of the people that help shape these movies and TV shows you love. So, video,
and,
podcast,
Bevy?
Interviews,
oh,
all coming at you. Be sure to subscribe. Thanks so much, guys. Stay sweaty.
What's up, Collider fans? Ryan Satin here from ProWrestlingSheet.com, where you can find the top stories throughout the week in the world of professional wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan like myself, then you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not checking out all the shows we do every week on YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet. In particular, on Wednesdays, we've got a SmackDown recap show hosted by John Rocha and myself, where we pick apart and talk about every little thing that happened on the Blue Brand. So do yourself a favor and go subscribe at YouTube.com/C/WrestlingSheet.
Hey guys, Riley here, and let me tell you about Rule of Two. You looking for a Star Wars fix? Well, Rule of Two is that show. It drops on Collider Video's main YouTube channel, as well as on Podcast One's Jedi Council feed. So go over there, subscribe, share it with your friends. It's hosted by myself and Mark Fernandez. We talk everything in the Star Wars universe with a lot of deep dives and a lot of conversations that go all in. You know what to do. Subscribe, join us there, and rise.
Hey everyone, John Rocha here, the host of Collider Mailbag. A new episode drops every Saturday and Sunday in your face and in your ears, answering the questions from you fans about the world of entertainment, film, and television. Me and great guests from our sphere do the best to answer your questions from Twitter, from Instagram, and of course, email as well, every Saturday and Sunday.
Hi, I'm Amy Dallin, one of the hosts of Collider Heroes, and starting right now, you can catch our show Tuesday nights with a new Collider Heroes and a longer Collider Heroes podcast, where Coy and I are going to talk your ears off. You already know that's coming. So make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe, and find us on the Collider Heroes podcast feed for all of that sweaty goodness.
The Witching Hour is all over Collider right now. You can listen to that horror-filled podcast with myself, with Haley Fouch. We talk about witchiness. We talk about slashers. We talk about space horror. You name it, all on that show on the Collider Factory feed. And on top of that, you can find an article all about Witching Hour every single Tuesday on Collider.com. Check it out. Get scared. Hopefully you survive the Witching Hour.
I know this song. What is it?
I thought it was How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, John, that's what Powell, it sounds like. John Powell?
Yeah. What is it, Cody?
This is generic royalty-free music from JinglePunks.com to avoid those copyrights.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, that's amazing. We are back on Collider Live on this lovely Friday, Viernes, and Ashley Robinson. How are you? Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Good. Oh, I want to be greeted by applause everywhere
I go.
Yeah,
you got it. You got the canned applause.
From now on, just have it on your writer to say, only will show up if there's applause.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I want that and a cup of coffee. I'm very easy to place.
Okay. Did you want coffee? Did you get some? We can get
I'm
going
to go to Starbucks because yesterday they launched my favorite basic white girl drink, the peppermint mocha.
There you go.
Holiday season.
It is the holiday season.
Are the red cups out?
They are.
They're okay.
Yeah, and yesterday they gave you a free reusable red cup, but they didn't put your drink in the red cup, so I still killed a tree for it.
Killing a tree one cup at a time.
Poor Groot. Yeah. So Ashley, you are joining us because you actually have something really cool to talk to us about. That is a charity that you're working with, that you're partnering with. You and Jason Inman, correct?
Yeah. So I'm sure viewers remember Jason Inman back in the deep dark days of the Collider Arrow show.
Yeah, that's right.
He made his debut here. That's how we met you for the first time, John,
agreed.
Doing the Flash side of that. So Jason, if people aren't familiar, was in the military. He was a veteran. He deployed overseas for a year. And when he was over there, he received a bunch of care packages, and one of them had an issue of Ultimate X-Men in it, which for him was a big deal. He'd fallen out of comics, and that really brought him back into our nerdy fold. And so this is our fifth anniversary of doing the Jawin Comic Drive for Soldiers, where we try to raise a bunch of comics to send in conjunction with Operation Gratitude, which is a wonderful charity, to service members overseas, recuperating in hospitals all over the world, and to their family back at home. And for the month of November, we're trying to raise 15,000 comics. To date, we've sent over 135,000 comics to service members and their families. And we're doing a big kickoff event, if you're in Los Angeles, at Collector's Paradise in North Hollywood on Sunday, the day before Veterans Day.
Oh, nice.
That's
nice.
So cool.
Yeah.
What time is that at?
It starts at noon, and it goes until people stop showing up.
Okay.
And we very generously have a lot of amazing artists coming out. I'm sure Jackson, who draws Darby, is coming. Bernard Chang is coming. And if you donate 20 comics or more, you get a free sketch. Norm Ratman is coming, who worked on Superman. And there's a whole bunch of great event details on Twitter and on Facebook.
So people can bring any type of comic book that they want to donate.
Any type. We do recommend that they're in good reading condition. You know, if you wouldn't buy it out of a bin for yourself, then we don't recommend that you pass those on to the troops. Right. And we do ask people to try to keep them PG-13 because they are going to be sent to families back at home. And the lovely volunteers who are packing these aren't doing like a quality check. So if you want to donate Walking Dead and Zenoscope, that's fine. That's on you. Mm. But that's not necessarily what we're asking for the sake of the drive.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, Ashley. And where can they go online? OperationGratitude.com or there was another link you sent us.
Yeah, so if you go to ComicDriveForServiceMembers.com, that'll take you right to our page with all the event details. If you go to Facebook and you search Jawin Comic Drive kickoff event, that has all the event details. And then all the video details and stuff are pinned to my Twitter. They're pinned to Jason's Twitter and YouTube.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Everything is right there. The video is the easiest way, right? Because we'll just tell you everything that you need to know in a nice little seven-minute clip.
Yeah. People don't want to read.
It's hard. The nice thing, too, about our event on Sunday, or we partnered with Collector's Paradise as well. They have three locations across Los Angeles. They'll match anything that you donate.
So if you donate,
they'll donate the same amount. And then you're saving on shipping because otherwise people all over the rest of the country, I do have to ship them to Operation Gratitude.
Yeah,
right? You get a nice medium-sized flat rate box that costs $12. You can put up to 60 comic books in there. Nice. So that's what I recommend people do.
That's awesome. And I just retweeted from my Twitter as well. So
Thanks, Mark.
If you want to go there and check it out.
And these links will also be on our video's description from today's episode. So,
exactly.
So check that out. Yeah. John, you're a veteran. Did you ever read comics while you were?
Of course, all the time. I mean, that's something that we kind of bonded on because when you're a veteran, when you go into the service, nine times out of ten, you're 19, 20 years old, 18 years old.
Yeah,
so
want to see the world.
Yeah, you want to see the world, but you also like what are the common things you can connect on? Movies, sports, comic books. That's the thing. So you can talk about because we all grow up like kind of reading that stuff or having access to it for the most part. And so you just exchange. What was your favorite artist? What was your favorite issue? What was your favorite run? Blah, blah, blah. So those are great conversations to have. And then we used to go off to the BX and look at which is where you go to get stuff and get to toiletry items and what have you. And convenience things. And so you'd look and see what comics there are. And, of course, it's a little bit behind because it's a military base. Mm-hmm. But you're reading them and you're getting – you're comparing notes and stuff like that afterwards. So and then trading them.
Right, Canada, our PX is called the Can-X.
Yeah, the Can-X.
Yeah. Which is
more
my
positive.
Fun detail.
I like that. Yeah. I Can-X. but, yeah, and this is great. Look, I've known Jason like she's – like Ashley said, for a while now, since the Green Lantern stuff, when we first were doing those recap shows, Jason's got a great heart, and he loves the soldiers. He loves his time that he served. I always feel a little bit lower than you because Jason actually went out and served in the theater of war.
It's not a competition.
It's not. But like I respect his service so much more because of that. And so I have a special place in my heart for Jason, and to see that he does things like this that kind of like gives back to his time to people who are going to serve our country. And defend our country. It's a great thing to send them stuff to make them feel like a little piece of home is there with them or they can pass this around. And who knows? Those comics can spark connection and friendships amongst those troops that maybe wouldn't have been there before.
So and hopefully they can take people who are working there now who might leave. They can lead them to careers like you Jason.
Exactly.
Which is so cool.
That's so important because that's the thing. I mean, we actually had Roland Emmerich this week because he's promoting his movie Midway coming out this weekend for Veterans Day.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talked about is that there's no winners in war.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember our history and we have to remember that we wouldn't be here because of these people, not just in our country, but veterans in other countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
And after war, a lot of these people don't have the same opportunities we do because, you know, we get the opportunity to have another type of education or another career. So this is amazing. This is great that what you guys are doing.
Yeah. And if you want to see what Jason looked like when he was 21, go look at the old pictures that are up in that video.
I love those pictures. I love those pictures.
They are great.
And I remember Jason had the greatest line against Snyder in a schmodown. Do you remember that?
No, what
I
is
do.
It?
Oh my God! He goes, "What? Like war films or something?" Was spun, and Jeff Snyder was like, "Well, let's go to war then." And Jason was like, "Okay, as the only person that's been to war, right, let's do this."
Yeah.
And Snyder just got up and left.
Yeah, one of the rarest
moments. And I blew that telling of it, but it was like such a great clapback on that.
That's awesome.
It was amazing.
So Ashley, what are you working on right now?
So right now, Jason and I have a new comic that's coming out in December. It's called Science with an exclamation point, Elements of Dark Energy. So you got to say it like a baseball announcer.
Science!
We were actually on Collider, a bunch of Collider shows to promote that last year when we were crowdfunding. That's coming out December 18th. So it's coming out right in time for the holiday season. You can order it on Amazon. You can get the digital copy on Comixology right now, which is very exciting. And then the first thing that we came to our Collider friends to promote was Jupiter Jet.
Yep.
And we're working on volume 2, of that. That's we just started.
Can you talk a little bit about what it is without spoiling? It's both Jupiter Jet and science.
Yeah. So science is, what if Harry Potter went to a Star Trek school instead of a magic school and was a nice Indian American lesbian? No. And it focuses around, her name is Tamsin. It focuses around, she comes to the school because her father used to be the headmaster of it, but he has since passed away and his consciousness lives in her Google glasses.
Mm. Oh, my God.
And so she's there with his consciousness to unravel the mystery of what happened to him. And, of course, they fall into dark matter and scientific adventures. And then Jupiter Jet is a little more...
It's like Black Mirror Harry Potter.
This is like really cool.
It's a little more science fantasy. I always say it's like, what if Kim Possible met the Rocketeer? Right. 16-year-old girl.
Rocketeer.
Yeah.
You just made us all sweatier.
Sweatier. Yes. Yeah.
16-year-old girl discovers a jetpack from her deceased father, because clearly we have father issues. And
it's fine. I mean, it's a good launching point for stories, I think.
Fights bad guys who have glowing eyes and are maybe robots. And then if people have read it, as I know a few people at the table have, there's a big science fiction twist at the end of it. And so volume two is dealing with the ramifications of what that means. And it jumps a year into the future. So Jackie's a year older. Her brother's a year older. Mm. And there's a new bad guy.
This is cool. So it's like a comic book series.
Can you imagine?
I love this.
We always said we have a 5-volume plan for that. So now to be on volume two is really exciting.
That is exciting.
So can I ask you just, because I've interviewed comic book writers and artists before, and clearly it's a very different medium than making a film or a TV show. Like, what do you think is the pros and cons for you as a creator?
Interesting. A big pro is having a co-writer. So because Jason and I, for these projects, we're working together, we have different projects that we've done separately. Like, he's done Super Soldiers and I did Aurora, which we were also both on here to promote. Being able to work together is great because we really balance each other's strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And having someone to check you means that your collective first draft is so much better. Right. Like, you've already gone through the process of working with an editor, which is something that we're really, really lucky to have. And then making a comic specifically, it's so collaborative. Like, there's 7 people easily who go into a book. And so hopefully your artist can elevate your work, or your colorist, or your letterer, and everyone's adding a little bit onto that. The con is that you're working on 7 different people's schedules, and creatives were not great at hitting deadlines. So at some point at the end of the day, you have to be like, hey, knock, knock, knock. You signed a contract that you would finish it in this amount of time. Please finish it.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Is that how writers talk to each other? They whisper?
That's how you speak to your collaborators you want to work with again in the future. Right, when you're the one who's like, it's my mind. Then you can be in that position.
There you go.
And we've all been in that position, whether it's like someone is coming late to the studio or this conflict has come up. Like, the minute you bring in other people, it becomes exponentially so much more fun and so much more beautiful, but like so much more complicated. Mm,
yeah. Right. That's awesome. Well, you guys, if you want to help, if you can help this weekend, please check out, as I said, all these links, Operation Gratitude, the event that Ashley and Jason are putting together are on our description of our episode today.
Yeah.
Cody, can we open up those phone calls, those call lines? Those call lines.
Phone lines.
Phone lines. Like, English is so hard. Yeah.
The can with a string?
Yeah.
Let's just open those up.
It's like the idiom thing that's so hard for me.
Ouvrir la téléphone, s'il vous plaît.
Why do you?
Oh. Everybody speaks a language here but
me.
That
was beautiful.
You speak American, man.
I'm the whitest guy here right now with like zero bringing to the table white.
But you do know some Spanish.
Es verdad, I do.
There you go. See, that's what he says when
I always. I do this on purpose. I do the es verdad. Hola, mi.
That's okay. My Spanish is about dos agua, por favor.
Yeah.
That's about all I know.
That's 2 waters, please. Yeah. Right?
It's 2 water, but I'll let it go.
I just pulled a Christian and just
she tried, and her French was beautiful.
Her French was beautiful. Well, she's Canadian. She speaks French. You know,
Anyway,
chocolate croissant.
Should there be an
was
S
that a meow I heard?
Two aguas.
Aguas.
Let's see.
Was that a meow?
Not right now.
Oh, okay. I was like, is somebody meowing? I'm just hearing it now automatically.
Yeah, every time we said cats, there was a meow that came up. And so we enjoyed the cats thing that you're not doing it.
Hey, when you want to talk about cats again, let me know. I'll bring Brago on. He'll love it.
I know.
Who's that?
It's my cat. Named after Aragorn's horse. Yeah.
I love that cat.
Are you excited for the Cats musical that's coming out?
Look, Loki, we all knew Cats sucks, right? Like, we've known that for decades. So I don't know why everyone was shocked when this trailer came out. I love it because the meme game that has come out of that movie is so strong.
Agreed. Speaking of cats, do we have a call, Cody? You are on Collider Live. Who are you?
Jeremiah Morris.
Hey, Jeremiah. Where are you calling from?
Indianapolis.
Welcome.
How's it going? What you got for us today?
My question was, first of all, I want to say thank you to Jason and Roka for their service.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Very kind.
I really appreciate it. Most of my family was in the military.
Man, respect.
I really appreciate that.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for saying.
My question is, I love the new Star Wars trailer. And the reason being is that John Williams' music.
Mm.
Best part of Star Wars.
Yes. You're not kidding. But it hits me. I've listened to that trailer, just listened probably 10 times.
Yeah.
What's your favorite trailer music?
Ooh. Like forever, not just Star Wars?
Forever, yeah.
Okay.
The Star Wars.
Yeah.
Our favorite Star trailer music.
Just in general.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for the call. Ooh, that's hard.
So I guess I because they lifted this from the movie, and then whenever there was this like epic kind of, if there was romance, if it was a period piece, James Horner's score from Legends of the Fall.
Mm.
They would pull that music all the time to just give you the feels. Mm. And it's like – but it's Legends of the Fall, the score.
Right.
But I noticed it popping up a lot. So I'll say that. But then if we're doing Star Wars, the Last Jedi trailer music, the bump, 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 bump. That, whoa, there was some great – trailer music in that one.
Arclight also plays the Legend of the Fall score before the movies all the time.
See?
Like, and we're always Shazamming, being like, why do we know this song?
Yeah. Mm. It's James Horner, man.
Yeah,
gone
no, that's
soon.
A good one. I think my first thought was they use Hans Zimmer's The Thin Red Line score in a few trailers, including when Man of Steel a trailer came out, because that was, whatever you think of the movie, I love the movie.
Oh,
that trailer
movie
is incredible.
Yeah,
it's one of the best trailers we've seen.
I have four trailers saved on my MacBook Pro.
Uh-huh.
And
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel is one, because I will
God
watch
bless
it
you, sir,
and get emotional as F on a plane anywhere when I want to watch it. 300 is the other one, and there are
great
two
trailer
other ones. There are two other ones. 300
is a good one.
300 is a great trailer. Visually, it's a phenomenal trailer. And the song.
Yeah.
That pulsing. Carmina Burana is another one they used for a while on trailers.
The
for
Omen.
A little bit. That was great. Yeah, The Omen.
Yeah.
Excalibur. They used those through the 80s and 90s. You'd see that score pop up on trailers every once in a while.
Also, really quick, this year, the Joker trailer. It was.
Yeah.
I was so happy when I saw that trailer. I got emotional. I think they used a really beautiful orchestral version of a Smile.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it was. I wish they had used that in the stair and the dance stair scene.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, what about you, Ashley?
I think you got to give it up for Inception, because they used that piece of music the first time we heard the what I call the Inception fart.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they put it in Iron Man 3, for God's sake,
for
that trailer. But when it came out and the music that was first used in the original Inception trailer, I think is really, really powerful. And it's now become such a motif, and that now it's like memeable, and we don't do it anymore because it's deeply annoying.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, because they were calling it the Inception horn, but I do prefer the fart noise over that. Yeah.
What do you call the Annihilation sound?
The sound of Jeremy Renner's career tanking.
Oh my God.
Boom! Shots fired!
Well done, Ashley.
He wasn't even leading that movie.
That's no, but he's in movie. It, so it's kind of like backwards a little. Oh.
When is he in it? I don't remember him.
He's
in
her.
Annihilation?
Yeah.
I'm talking Arrival.
Yeah,
that's
Arrival.
Okay, I was like, wait. I was like, because I love Annihilation.
Oh, Annihilation.
I was like, did I miss
the one
him
with
in
the funny deer?
Arrival.
Right?
It was a sick
burn, Ashley, and then it wasn't a burn at all.
But it was really funny.
I'm not going to apologize to Jeremy Renner, but I'm going to apologize to the audience for making that mistake.
But Annihilation had that sound in the trailer.
Yeah,
the shimmery sound.
It's a great movie, one of the best recent sci-fi movies that you guys haven't seen.
Seriously, I loved it.
I liked it too.
Good.
Yeah.
Cody, we got another call?
Oh.
You're on Collider Live. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Kevin from New York, and I have to ask myself that question at least once a day, apparently.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good. First, I just want to say congrats on an awesome first week. Darina, you and Roxy have killed it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, obviously, with our mark here. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
No. You.
You got a question
Mark's
for us?
Hero.
Aww. Aww. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
I guess this is just going to go to John. Just like your thoughts on the Wednesday Night Wars so far and who you got coming out on top at Full Gear on Saturday.
Wait, say this again? On the what?
What have been your thoughts on the Wednesday Night Wars so far with AEW and NXT and who you got coming out on top at the pay-per-view Saturday?
Yes, we got our first wrestling question on Collider Live.
Sports.
Look, NXT still looks like NXT. There hasn't been that much of a difference in terms of its appearance overall. So to me, it looks like they've just put it on a bigger channel. That's all. AEW is coming with some fire, and I like Cody Rhodes' comments today about female wrestlers and the visa issues. I like the fact that Cody is able to talk about shit actually that's going on behind the scenes and put it out front for people to consume and take or not take, whereas WWE is more protective about things and it's about a PR game now. And kudos to them because they are a machine now. Like a studio, they have to operate in that way. So I like the rebellious nature of AEW. I think there's too much money behind WWE and NXT for them not to come out on top. But still, I like what AEW is doing, and it feels like the best parts of WCW back when they could go toe-to-toe with the WWE. As far as the pay-per-view, there's so many matches. Ask me about one match, and I'll give you my thought.
Well, I guess the main event then, Cody and Jericho, especially with that stipulation that Cody won't challenge for the title again if he loses.
Yeah, I think Jericho wins that thing, and then Cody kind of recedes in the back for a little bit because he's got to run things anyway. I think he's doing that on purpose. Like, he's got to push AEW, so he's going on tours, he's going on these appearances, so I think Jericho wins this thing so that Cody can kind of step back a little bit and run the organization, run AEW, and help all the other wrestlers shine more, because that's what a true leader does, is help everybody shine, not just themselves. And so I think that's what I think is what Cody will do. And I think that's why Jericho will win.
Thank you for the call, Kevin. And
I
completely disagree with John. I'm kidding. I know nothing of current wrestling.
Every time
the last time I watched
Collider,
wrestling was
talking about
the
visas and immigration.
Every time.
Yeah. But appreciate it for the question. See a lot of you in the chat going, yeah, it's a wrestling question. Yeah, don't worry. When Roka's on, and
yes.
we are still going to, if we get a wrestling guest, we are going to have Roka conduct that interview.
You're
going to
have Roka wrestle?
Yeah,
I guess.
Yes.
That was on,
in a cat costume.
That was in play, wasn't it, for the Peanut Butter Falcon thing? But I don't think it's going to happen now because I'm going to be in Australia.
Yeah, we were trying to get somebody, and it was unfortunate. It was like right around the time we were filming live, and we were going to hope to go lean on you for that, but you're doing something. You're going down under again.
Down under again.
What a shrimp on the barbie, right?
Oh my
See,
God.
I can't do it.
No, don't do it.
Well, fine.
No, it's okay. There you go.
I'll just do Sean Connery.
We got another call here. You are on Collider Live. Who are you?
Hi, this is Stephanie from Ohio.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
How are you doing? What you got for us today?
I'm doing well. My question is another soundtrack question.
Yes.
What are some soundtracks that you love that people don't usually mention as their favorite? Mine are the Batman Forever soundtrack.
Ooh, good choice.
And what was the second one?
Land Before Time, that's a James Horner.
Oh,
one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Land Before Time.
Thank you for the call. That's a great question. One of my, Mark and my favorite topic.
Yeah.
What do you got, Mark?
So many.
I know, me too. And I'm glad you mentioned Land Before Time because James Horner, he was my childhood other than John Williams. Like, not just Land Before Time, but An American Tale. He just Casper is a beautiful soundtrack that I guess a lot of people don't listen to. From back in the day. I'm a huge fan of Johnny Greenwood. He's a half of or one quarter of Radiohead.
There Will Be Blood.
Yes, and he's worked with Paul Thomas Anderson a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So Phantom Thread is actually one of my favorite recent soundtracks. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I always mention John Powell, How to Train Your Dragon, the original score, is one of the best scores out there. But if you want really like deep, sweaty that nobody talks about, Danny Elfman's The Kingdom is one of the greatest scores because the movie just kind of came and went. It's a great movie. I actually really enjoyed The Kingdom, but that score sticks with me.
You know what's another one that I was thinking along those lines? Because Danny Elfman, his score for Milk. The Milk. Harvey Milk movie is also very – it's very different than Danny's other stuff, and it's really beautiful as well.
I would even say Good Will Hunting is such a great like score. Nobody talks about because it's so beautiful. Every time I hear the music that he uses when Ben Affleck's character goes at the end of the movie and knocks on the door to find you know, Will, and he's gone, that music starts to swell, and I'm just like
– How about them apples?
I start crying because it just pulls it out of me. So,
And do you have any, John?
Well, score-wise, there's an 80s film that not a lot of people saw called Promised Land with Jason Gedrick, Tracy Pollan, Kiefer Sutherland, and Meg Ryan from the 80s. And it's a forgotten soundtrack. It's not out anywhere you can find it unless you bought the cassette back in the 80s. It's James Newton Howard, really early Newton Howard. And it is a beautiful score. And it's about these people coming back to their town who were knew each other in high school and about this terrible thing that happens, tragedy that happens. And the film explores that. And it's such a fantastic score. I can't recommend it enough. And as far as soundtracks go, I think – You got to throw Top Gun on the conversation. I love the Batman Forever thing. That's great.
That's a great under it. Batman and Robin also.
Batman and Robin's not a bad one. And Kill Bill. Kill Bill's a great soundtrack beyond the score. I like the Kill Bill soundtrack.
Yeah.
I think for soundtracks, I think Juno's really underrated. It has a lot of great Kimia Dawson on it. Maybe a movie with diminishing returns the older you get. And the more you realize that it's written for 40-year-old women instead of 16-year-old women. But that's okay. No 17-year-old making a Bone Collector joke. Sorry.
So is Gilmore Girls.
I do really like that movie, though. I think that's a great soundtrack. I think Michael Giacchino is just generally criminally underrated. Yep. His television stuff's great. Fringe is really great. He gets taken over by his proteges later on. It's really wonderful. I think his Doctor Strange score is really underappreciated.
Yes, I love that end credit theme. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I really like the score for The Good Dinosaur. I think it's a great modern Western take.
Oh, cool.
And that is by Michael Dana and Jeff. Michael and Jeff Dana? Sorry. Probably mispronounced your names. They're not composers I'm familiar with outside of that movie, but if you like that, and we were talking about Legends of the Fall earlier, if you like those kind of motifs, I think it's a really, whether or not you love the movie or you're interested in Pixar and animation, it's a great soundtrack. Great score.
That's great. And I mean, a lot of these soundtracks we're talking about, they're all orchestral, but I've gotten really into synthesizer stuff. I mean, ever since, you know, Vangelis in the
80s. Blade Runner,
exactly. But
you gotta listen to That Good Batman the Animated series.
Yeah.
It's Christopher Drake.
But there's also, Micah Levy. I don't know if you guys know him, but he did Under the Skin. It's a beautiful soundtrack. Matt Quayle, the Mr. Robot score is amazing. So lots of awesome music for you guys to listen to. We are unfortunately out of time.
Oh.
Thank you so much for coming,
so
Ashley.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to Mark, to John, to Cody and Alex in the booth. Thank you guys for supporting us this week. We will be back for a full week next week on Collider Live. Have a good weekend.
Dead ass. Dead ass. Napa know-how.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
It's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, but it said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC Let's Go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire! Now, Babo, you know that you can get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now, that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we're always talking about striving and achievement, and the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the Vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.